The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
Hell yeah!
He covers Bob McCowan's holidays, which means he's here so often you probably already thought he was a full-time employee.
And now,
on the radio,
The Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Again, we're trying to manage and balance the fact that we still want to develop JP as well, and he had a very good season in the minor league. So that's something that we'd have to weigh out if there was somebody out there and if they were willing to come here and if it fit. How would we split up the playing time? How would it work?
That was Toronto Blue Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos talking about Russell Martin, the Canadian-born catcher with the Los Angeles Dodgers, ex of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who's a free agent. And the Blue Jays do have a certain amount of interest in Russ Martin, and they have interest in him as a utility guy, although I think on an everyday basis, Alex Anthopoulos still views his only position as being that of catcher. And it's an interesting notion, and it makes a certain amount of sense. Russ Martin is from here. He grew up in Quebec, but he's from East York. It makes a certain amount of sense. I'm just, if I'm the Blue Jays, I've got to be really careful about the guy's track record with injuries and about the rather shocking lack of production, the fall off in production. We're going to be taking your Jays calls, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. We're going to talk about the Red Sox signing Carl Crawford, you know, the Yankees signing Cliff Lee. I mean, yeah, we sort of assumed that would likely happen. But the Red Sox being really aggressive with Carl Crawford, I want to know what you think about it. Are you still content with Alex Anthopoulos' approach? I mean, I think you have to be, but I know what fans are like, and I know fans are going to be pissed off. They're going to look at this, and they're going to say, well, that's great. The Red Sox and Yankees are pulling even farther ahead of the Blue Jays. And one person who just knows that that's what the fans are thinking, because he always knows what the fans are thinking, is Mike Wilner, third man in the booth for the Fan 590. And, Mike Wilner doing yeoman's work down at the Moose and Squirrel Resort in Orlando. Mr. Wilner, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
That Rule 5 draft, I'll tell you what, there are few days in a person's life that exceed the excitement of the Rule 5 draft, don't they?
Yeah, you know what? I'm right there with you. It's a blast. I actually enjoy going to it and checking it out and seeing what's happening. They took away the big screen though this year, so that took a lot of the fun away. It was just some guy standing up there and rhyming off names and asking teams to repeat names that he didn't really hear all that well. So without the big screen, there's a little bit less fun and excitement. But the Jays didn't do anything. They didn't pick anybody. They lost Brad Emus to the Mets and J.P. Ricciardi. Scott Diamond, who's a Canadian kid, went from the Braves to the Twins, so that means that he's likely to start next season in the Major League, so that's kind of cool. But other than that, yeah, it was a big bag of nothing.
Yeah, and I guess Brad Emus, you know, when I looked at him, you can almost see him becoming a utility guy in the National League, I think. I mean, I think that, you know, is a National League player. I mean, he clearly wasn't going to advance here anywhere, Mike. The Carl Crawford deal, seems to have really resonated throughout the meetings. The numbers and the money, kind of what we expected, but I really think, I was one of those people. I thought he was going to go to the Angels. I thought he was going to go to the West Coast. I thought, you know, the Angels would blow everybody out of the water. He would join his good friend Torrey Hunter. He certainly would, you know, he's certainly what the Angels need, and, you know, knowing the Angels, they're not very happy that they didn't win the West last year because it's sort of an annual right with them. How surprised are you, first, and again, the numbers are just reported, the deal has not been made official, I don't believe, but how surprised are you that the Red Sox were so aggressive after Carl Crawford, after adding Adrian Gonzalez?
No, I'm really surprised. I mean, I guess I kind of knew they'd be in on him because they're in on everybody and they've got a lot of money to spend. But I think they really wanted Jason Worth. And once they realized how much money Jason Worth signed for, they knew that, you know, Carl Crawford's no longer really as expensive as he seemed to be. They only gave him $2 million a year more than Jason Worth got. And that's kind of what the market is in its craziness right now. So I think that's the way it occurred to them, and it gives them a weapon that they really haven't had in a long, long time, maybe ever. And there's no question that he's one of the great players in the league. So you pony up, you spend your cash, and you go get him. And that's what they did. But I don't know why the Angels let him go. I mean, maybe it's the same kind of thing where a couple of years ago we all thought C.C. Sabathia was going to the West Coast, and the Yankees managed to talk him out of it. The Red Sox may well have done the same thing.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it, how you know, the Angels used to be one of those teams that could – I shouldn't say used to. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, the Angels kind of got what they needed. In some ways, they were a little bit like the Yankees. You know, they could offer a lot of things in terms of lifestyle. You know, a lot of guys still live in California in the off season. I mean, they could offer a lot of things the Yankees couldn't offer. But, you know, I've got to think this is a huge disappointment for them because they do have an owner who's proactive. They have an owner who, you know, is willing to spend money. And as I said, I mean, they won that division, what, 6 of the last 9 years. You've got to think that losing it last year really stung. And you know, as much as people in Toronto may sit here and, you know, be kind of wringing their hands over the thoughts of Carl Crawford and Cliff Lee in this division, I've got to think fans of the Angels are, frankly, a hell of a lot more pissed off right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that they are. They thought they were going to get the guy, and they, you know, a lot of them were penciling him in and ordering their Carl Crawford Angels shirts, and they're wondering why this didn't happen. And you can explain it to them to an extent, I guess, of saying, you know, it's a 7-year deal. You're going to be paying Carl Crawford $18 million a year when he's 38 years old, and maybe an investment like that in that age in a speed guy isn't that great. There are some minuses to Crawford that would make you balk at that kind of price, but the Angels had better have a good backup plan.
You had an interview with Alex Anthopoulos, and the subject of Russell Martin was broached with him. I've been trying to get a hold of Martin's agent. He's usually pretty good. I haven't been able to get a hold of him the last couple of days, which indicates that something may be up someplace. What's the Blue Jays thinking with Russell Martin exactly? And do you have a sense of what they would be willing to offer him financially to get the deal done?
No, I don't. And you know what? He turned down a deal that could have been worth $6 million for a year from the Dodgers, which is why they non-tendered him. And I don't think the Blue Jays would be interested in giving him that kind of cash. And we're hearing now that the Red Sox and the Yankees are both making a really big push for Russ Martin, and they both have holes behind the plate. So maybe the odds of him coming to Toronto are pretty low right now. But I think, you know, the Blue Jays can't offer him an ideal situation. They'll offer him a chance to catch a couple of times a week, maybe play a bit of third, maybe DH a bit, though I don't see that bat DHing.
No.
At least not the way it's been the last couple of years. So he's got to decide if he wants to be a utility man who's catcher insurance for the Blue Jays, or if he wants to be the backup catcher for the Yankees, which probably means he catches at least 90 games, or if he wants to be the starting catcher for the Red Sox. And, you know, for me anyway, the Blue Jays situation is the least attractive.
Is there any sense at all that, I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyhow, because I think I know how Alex is wired, but have you been able to get a read on how Alex has reacted to seeing, you know, this division, to seeing teams within the division sign guys? It's certainly nothing new, but I think from Alex's, you know, from Alex's point of view, it might be a little different this year just because, you know, the Red Sox have really, really been engaged this year and have really pushed the Yankees. And, you know, we talked about at least the Orioles are adding parts this year. Has there been a change at all in Alex's approach, at least externally? Has there been frustration? Because, you know, one thing about J.P. Ricciardi, J.P. was really great at times of showing his frustration.
Yes, he was.
With the way things are going. How has Alex reacted to that?
He hasn't. He knew it was coming, and he said today, if the Red Sox hadn't signed Carl Crawford, they would have signed somebody else, and that somebody else would have been almost as good. That's just the way they work. He talked about how he thought the Red Sox were a 100-win team last year if they managed to stay healthy. And now you have Gonzalez and you have Carl Crawford, and you believe that they'll have a healthy Kevin Youkilis and a healthy Dustin Pedroia and a healthy Josh Beckett, and they're going to be a real problem this year. And he knew that, and that's why he says he cannot stray from this focus, from this plan, from what he's trying to do of build a system that will continue to feed itself, a system where You have the potential to have an all-star at every position. Young guys, controllable guys. That's why he made the Markham deal, you know, and had the Yankees sign or had the Red Sox sign Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez beforehand, he still would have made that Markham deal because he can't change his focus. He can't get off the plan, and that's what he talked about that a little bit today after the Rule 5 draft, and you'll hear those clips from him throughout the day. But, no, he's not surprised. He's not frustrated. He just knows that's the deal.
Do you think that – is there a sense, do you think, and you, I mean, you've been, you know, doing your blog and you've been getting a sense from talking to fans. Are fans going to be frustrated by this in Toronto, do you think? And, you know, not just the people who call up and say, well, you know, the Jays are going to move next year. You know, ownership doesn't care. They're not spending money, yada, yada. But, I'm talking the serious fans who've, you know, who buy into Alex's plan and who have a little bit of faith in him. But do you think that they'll be looking at this and going, yeah, you know, this is kind of... Like, it just seems the whole Crawford to Boston thing is just grab people differently than, you know, if Cliff Lee signs with the Yankees, you go, well, that's Cliff Lee. You kind of expect that. That's the Yankees. You know, the Adrian Gonzalez is traded to the Red Sox. Well, you know, okay, that's the Red Sox. But this sort of seems to be really a shot across the bow for a lot of fans.
That's interesting, and I haven't interacted with any fans today in live blog trainings. It's just been the Rule 5, so I haven't talked to anyone since the Crawford to Boston news went down. But I do think that there are some fans who are finding it difficult to continue to take the long view. I mean, there are a lot of people who say, look, you need to tear this thing down and build this thing right back up from the ground up. And then 6 months later, they're saying, well, why haven't you won anything yet? And it's tough to stay patient. It really is, because you see other teams winning. You see, you know, you see the Giants and Rangers in the World Series last year, and you could argue that the Blue Jays were better than both those teams. But the fact is they play in the AL East, so they have to be that much better than being just better than that. And it's tough. It's tough to stay positive when, you know, you see your opening day starter traded for a 20-year-old who might be a couple of years away from the big leagues at least, even though he says he wants to break camp in the majors. But I think a lot of the fans would love to have the Jays just kind of throw them a bone for 2011. Mm-hmm. Just give us something.
Manny.
Ramirez. Yeah, something like that, you know, and that would make them happy, even though bringing in Manny Ramirez would really, really kind of be detrimental to the long-term view of this club because detrimental, but it doesn't give you the chance to bail Adam Lind out if he can't play first base.
Right. Hey, Mike, I hate to cut you off, but we've got Howard Berger at least practice. Just some news on Dion Phaneuf. So I appreciate your time. I'll look forward to the blog, and I'll be talking to you. Safe travels, my friend. That is Mike Wilner, Fan 590 Baseball Insider, third man in the booth. And here is Howard Berger, Maple Leafs insider. I know you hate that, Howard, but I'm calling you a Maple Leafs insider, Maple Leafs reporter with the Fan 590, Howard Berger. Dion Phaneuf, fill me in, my friend.
Yeah, he's playing tonight. He came off the ice after his skate today, and I've gotten to know him enough that I think I can tell his game face from his skate face, and he looked like he was ready to go, and he came out and did a scrum outside the dressing room with a bunch of reporters and said he's going to go in tonight. Actually, Jeff said he could have played last night. He was feeling well enough to play last night, but didn't want to go in consecutive night games in his return and was advised not to do that. So he'll be back in tonight. It's 5 weeks since the injury. He was said he'd be out from 4 to 6, so it's right in between. And I'm sure he's happy not only to be back, but to be back for next Wednesday's game, I think it is, in Calgary. Against his former team, the first meeting. So Phaneuf will be back in tonight. Don't know who's coming out. My guess would be Carl Gunnarsson, but there are very few people here today with both clubs having played last night, the Leafs and Flyers.
So Dion Phaneuf is in the lineup. The other move to be determined.
Right, exactly. And so if I was a betting person, I'd say Carl Gunnarsson. I know there's a lot of people listening to this program that would like to see Mike Komisarek come out of the lineup, but I think you got to keep your high-paid veterans in there and hope they get better. And so we'll see what he brings tonight. The one thing, Jeff, you have to say, Leaf fans are looking forward to his presence, for him being back into the lineup. He's the captain, but he's got to play better than he was playing before the injury. He has to really step up his game. He's got to start hitting the net with his shots. and he's got to just have to be a better all-around player. If he can do that, maybe the Leafs can squeak out some victories.
Yeah, without question, I think people expect more from him. Thanks a lot, Howard.
Okay, take care, Jeff.
Take care. That is Howard Berger from the Leafs Gate. Dion Phaneuf is in the lineup tonight, as we expected. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. We're taking your calls on the Blue Jays. The Red Sox are going after and have basically signed Carl Crawford. Does that change what you think of what the Blue Jays have done this offseason? Do you need to see more from Alex Anthopoulos? We'll take your calls.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto's Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
You're as cold as ice. See, here's the thing. Just because the winter meetings are ending, it doesn't mean that Alex Anthopoulos isn't going to be doing anything else the rest of the winter. You know that's wrong. Alex Anthopoulos, it's safe to say, we'll be making a couple of more additions to this team. It doesn't have to happen at the winter meetings. It's just a lot of times big deals are made there because of the proximity, because you get all the league's general managers and scouting directors and managers in one hotel, and everybody divides, you know, you divide up every team, you put together basically roving negotiating packs. You take four guys from your organization, these four go and talk to the Mets, the Yankees, and the Cubs, these other four guys go and talk to the Red Sox, the Rays, and the Angels. You know, you try to put groups together. Maybe you got a guy in your scouting department who worked for 15 years with the Angels. That guy, of course, is part of your Angels meeting team. So that's how you do it. You basically divide things up and away you go. You meet with everybody. You gather information. Doesn't often mean you make a deal that week, but an awful lot of time groundwork is laid for future deals. So I've got to think Alex Anthopoulos will make, you know, some other deals. Do I think he's going to make that Zach Greinke deal? No, that's apparent. You know, that's pretty apparent. And as I've said often, I think the second the Jays traded Markham, that should have indicated to people that, you know, they're not looking to add a guy to help them necessarily this year, not through a trade. They're not going to make a big trade to get a guy who's going to help them this year. It'll have to be to get a guy who can help them 4 or 5 years down the road as well. Somebody's prospect. That's what they're looking at. Having said that, it's apparent that the New York Yankees, as we all expected, are in an acquisition mode. It's a great comment from Yankees general manager Brian Cashman today. Said, I don't look at myself as being the general manager of the New York Yankees. I'm the director of spending for the New York Yankees, which pretty much sums it up. The Yankees are going to go after Cliff Lee. It'd be a surprise if they don't get him. I thought at the start of this whole thing, I would go 60-40 that Cliff Lee stays in Texas versus going to New York. I think he'll probably go to New York now. I just think the money and the terms will be too much. I don't think he can turn it down. But we expected Cliff Lee to go to the Yankees. And we expected the Boston Red Sox to be busy. And when they traded for Adrian Gonzalez, we thought, okay, they've done their thing. They got a first baseman. They got a guy who's going to hit a ton there. Hasn't hit in the American League East yet. You know, it's a man's league. The American League East, that's the man's division. Well, okay. Well, you know, I think Jays fans looked at that. Well, okay. Red Sox, that they've added a first baseman. They needed a first baseman. Basically replaces Victor Martinez. Okay, that's a wash. But then you find out today that the Red Sox are probably going to sign Carl Crawford, a guy that a lot of us thought was going to end up with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I mean, honestly, of the free agent position players, he's the bell of the ball. He's the guy you want. And because of that, you could never rule out the Red Sox. But I got to tell you, at the start of the whole process, when I was sitting there and saying, all right, where do I think these guys are going to go? I didn't see Carl Crawford going to Boston. And now you've got a Boston Red Sox team that has Carl Crawford, Dustin Pedroia, Kevin Youkilis, Adrian Gonzalez. They're going to have Jacoby Ellsbury batting ninth. Yikes. And I want to know it from you, and the numbers as always are 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Okay, does this change what Alex Anthopoulos has to do? I mean, I don't think it does. I think you got to stay the course. But after seeing the Red Sox really step up this offseason, you know, do you need to see something more from Alex? Robert in Mississauga, you're on the Fan 590.
Hi, Jeff. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. What do you think the Blue Jays are worth on the open market Second thing is, do you ever see Rogers spending $300 million on two players as the Red Sox just did? And where does Beltre end up now that he's not going to be in Boston?
Yeah, I think Beltre is going to end up in the West Coast. $300 million. I mean, the Jays, you know, the Jays spent, what did they spend when they signed Wells and Alex Rios to long-term extensions? Like, they basically doled out about $220 million, I think, then, maybe a little bit less. I don't think the whole thing with Rogers and the payroll, that to me, that's not an issue. I'll put it to you this way. Can I see Rogers eventually having a $120, $125 million payroll with this team? Absolutely. Absolutely, once they're convinced that, and once Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston have convinced them that, you know, this is a team that that is in position to win. I can see them doing that. But again, you got to remember, is, you know, and I keep thinking back to Dan Duquette used to talk the Montreal Expos. We always used to rip the Expos for being cheap, even when they were winning. And I remember one day Dan Duquette looking at us and saying, look, if I can win and spend $50 million less than the guy I'm beating, isn't that good? Isn't that what you want to do? Win and spend the least amount of money you need to do it? Like, isn't that a sign that your minor league system's producing? You know, that you've made shrewd trades. I mean, that's a sign of everything good. And there's a certain logic to that. I see that point of view. I see that point of view. I mean, if you want to win a World Series the way the Florida Marlins did in the cheap, like, tell me that isn't cool. Tell me it isn't cool winning a World Series with a $50-odd million payroll. Okay, that, now again, hey, I'm just telling you that. I'm just throwing that out there to say that I don't think that Rogers sits there. I mean, I don't think they sit there and they say, well, we've got a ceiling here this year, we've got a ceiling next year. I think they're prepared to spend, providing Alex and Paul Beeston can convince them that, you know what, we can really, this is a year. I mean, this is our window of opportunity. And one of the ways you do that, one of the ways you impress ownership, is by being very, take a very step-by-step approach, be very, I don't want to say conservative, but, you know, when you tell ownership, this is my plan, then you better freaking stick to that plan. If you do that, then you convince ownership, you know what, I can trust this guy with the keys to the car, right? I can trust him with the keys to the Beamer. Okay, he needs it now. This is when you need money now. I trust Alex and Paul because they've done what they said they're going to do. They haven't given me any surprises. I haven't had a BJ Ryan situation. They need money now. Okay, I'm going to go out and do it. That's what I think will happen. Chris in Toronto, you're on the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff. I just want to start off by saying sort of the type of Jays fan I am. As I saw them improve last year, I actually ended up going down to see four or five games. So I don't think I'm a hardcore fan, but I'm interested again, for sure. And I hadn't been for years. And the Markham deal is the first one that sort of made me step back a bit and be a little wary of how things were going. So for me, I think, if Alex could add a piece next year like Ramirez, that it's not, I don't think it would have a long-term negative impact on the team, but would just generate or keep my excitement level up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of thing that I'd be looking for him to do, I think. I mean, I don't want him to change his course. I think it is necessary to do that, but, you know, it is a bit disheartening to see you lose your opening day starter, and I recognize, I've been listening to you guys discuss the reasoning for it, and I'm willing to buy into it in that I have liked everything else Alex has done so far. But at the same time, I think I do, as you say, need that little something, you know?
You need something. I think what you're saying, Chris, is you need something to show you that, you know, that the team realizes, that Alex realizes that there was a little bit of momentum built going into this offseason. You almost need, it's almost like, you know, okay, here, this is what it might be like down the road. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll give you something now. And I think, and you heard Mike Wilner talk about it, this is why I've thought all along that in a lot of ways Manny Ramirez makes sense for this team. You know, Ramirez is not the hitter he was. That's apparent. He's an older guy now. He's been through some injuries. Of course, he was through the suspension. He never really was the same hitter after the suspension that he was before the suspension. But I think the thinking is, if the Jays can bring this guy in, even for 1 year, You know, maybe 1 year with the vesting option or however you want to word it, but bring him in for a year. You know, they're going to need a DH because Adam Lind is going to be the first baseman. And that's right. I mean, I think the Jays are 110% right in thinking that they're going to go into spring training with Adam Lind as the first baseman. I like that. I've thought all along, and I've said all along, that Adam Lind was pushed into a DH role way too early for a guy his age. I think there should have been a deliberate attempt made to find a position for him. I think he can be a first baseman. That's just based on what I've seen. That's based on how I've seen him in BP. And, I mean, I've watched him a bit in spring training. I've seen enough of the guy. I think he can be a first baseman. So do a lot of the Jays people. You know what? We'll find out in spring training. We'll find out in spring training. But if you're going to do that, then I think you need to add, you know, bolster yourself at DH. And a guy like Manny, you know, if Manny wants to play beyond this year, he's going to be motivated. So bring him in here. Bring him into a park where he hits the hell out of the ball. He hits a ton of home runs here. He likes the city. I mean, he's always liked the city. I mean, I remember people were laughing 4 years ago. I was writing in the Globe that, you know, Orlando Cabrera told me how much Manny liked Toronto. Manny does like Toronto. People are saying, oh, that's wrong. No, it isn't. I mean, Manny was telling people he liked Toronto. He talked to his agents. He talked to his representatives. He likes Toronto. Bring him in. Let's see what he's got. And fans will at least give the fans something. Dan and Whitby, you're in the Fan 590.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, I just got a question for you. Maybe you can help me with this. At what point do you think the Jays will up the payroll? Like, every year, the Yankees and the Red Sox jump into free agency, you know, and spend like crazy. Every year. Not like they don't take a year off. I mean, they just keep, you know, they up it every year. They add a piece. At what point will the Jays think, you know what? Oh, we got to go for it, man, because, you know, is it next year? Is it the year after? What if a couple of those pitchers digress from last year and don't have the year that?
And that's entirely possible.
You know, and then what? Then we say, oh wait, now we got to take another step back. Like, I mean, I think the Jays should have jumped into free agency this year, at least grab one high end free agent, like a Crawford or a Jason Worth, at least one.
But here's the thing, Dan. Here's the thing, and I'm not criticizing you, but fans in general, you're dealing with free agents. Most of them don't want to come to Toronto.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Carl Crawford isn't, you know, the Jays could offer Carl Crawford, whatever, 10 years away. Carl Crawford's not coming here. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's right, but that's the way it is. You know, and you saw this with J.P. Ricciardi. The only way he got free agents here was by chronically overspending. And that's not going to happen. So, you know, the whole free agent thing, if I needed to see anything, I thought maybe you'd see the Jays be a little more proactive in adding a guy through trade who is major league ready. That's what I thought I'd see. But again, the offseason isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. And once all these free agents fall into place and sign someplace, now the teams that are left standing have got to react to that. And maybe that's when Alex Anthopoulos gets involved. We'll see. We have Brett Laurie joining us on the other side of the break, the newest Blue Jay.
Nothing is left on the field. Get it all online at fan590.com. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio, the Fan 590.
He's a good kid, the one who is determined to get to the major leagues, determined to work hard, and if something is in his way of getting there, he will go right through it, and that's just the way he plays the game.
That is Toronto Blue Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos talking about our next guest, Brett Laurie, the newest acquisition of the Toronto Blue Jays acquired for Sean Markham. Brett, thanks so much for joining us in the Fan 590.
Hey, not a problem, man. Pleasure.
What went through your mind when you heard that the Jays had acquired you? I listened into your conference call yesterday, and it's pretty safe to say that I think you sort of suspected that the Brewers may be on the verge of moving you. But what went through your mind when you heard it was the Blue Jays?
Well, I mean, my first initial thought was, you know, how cool that, you know, I get to come back to Canada and, represent my country again. It's been a while since I've got an opportunity to do that, but to be able to do that, hopefully in the Rogers Centre coming up here is going to be pretty cool. But I obviously knew that I was coming into the wintertime knowing that I was a definite candidate to get traded. So,
Have the Blue Jays told you what position you will be playing yet? I mean, I have been told by people they want you to play second base. I've heard other people say they'd like you to play third. I kind of like my sources that are saying second base. But have they given you any indication as to what position you'll play in?
Not too sure. They're in between second and third, so I think they're going to take spring training as an opportunity to check out my tools at each position, and I'm sure they're going to acquire themselves on my ability at each position, and what they need is, you know, what I'm going to do. So
Brett Laurie joins us in the Fan 590. Where would you rather play? Not to create any controversy, but I mean, you seem to, from talking to Brewers people and from what I'm reading, you seem to have made a lot of strides at second base.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I've played my whole professional career so far. I've only had 2 years, two full seasons under my belt. But yeah, no, I have played second base every year, each of those years. So as far as second base goes, yeah, I like it. I think for myself, whatever gets me to, you know, the big leagues the fastest, and whatever the Blue Jays need me to do, I'm more than happy to do.
Is it going to be different for you coming to a new team at spring training? Because, you know, you'll be dealing with new coaches, and I know you've been a professional for a couple of years now, but new organization, new coaches. Are you at all concerned about having to impress people right out of the gate?
I think this for me is just a good opportunity. I get a chance to prove myself in front of some new people that I haven't met yet. I'm just excited to get going. Obviously, meet some new guys and try and get in with the big league club as best I can, and make some friends there. I think it's more about myself just going out there and just doing my thing and continue to play hard, and that's what everybody from the Blue Jays knows that I do, is that I go out there and I give 150% every single time. So I know if I do that, then I'm sure I'm going to have some people on my side. So
Brett Laurie joins us in the Fan 590. Do you see yourself being up here at the end of the 2011 season? Like, what is your timetable? I know it may not jibe with the Jays, but I mean, you seem to be a guy who's pretty aggressive, and you certainly don't lack confidence. What would your timetable be?
For me, Me personally, I'm going to go into spring training full throttle, and I'm going to try and blow the doors off, GM's mind and all the other coaches as well. So for me, I'm going into spring training, thinking about number one. I'm thinking about, I'm thinking about the big leagues. That's all that's on my mind, and that's all that has been on my mind the past little while here. So I'm totally looking for the big leagues, and that's where I feel where my game's at, and where my mind's been at for the past while here. So now I'm 100% looking for the big leagues. That's what I'm shooting for. So
how have you changed as a player since you've become a professional? You talk to guys and they'll say that the game is a lot faster. Obviously, the more you go up, the farther you go up the ladder, the game is a lot faster. But just in terms of preparation and day-to-day stuff, how have you, I guess, changed your work ethic or changed how you go about things, as you've sort of matured as a professional?
Yeah. For me, I had never ever played 140 games in a season before. So me as a young guy coming into that, I think I can go 1,000 miles an hour every single time at practice and batting practice and this and that. And you find out real quick that you can get real tired real fast. But for me, what I've learned is that, just take your infield and take your reps, take that very seriously, take batting practice seriously, and, try and channel your energies. And I think I've done a good job of that. And for me, just knowing that I got 140 games ahead of me, I've just been, really trying to take care of my body and keep stretching. And the number one thing is just to keep, you just want to keep healthy. And that's what I've been trying to do. You can't play if you're not healthy. So that's my number one thing. I know if I can play 140 games, I know that something's going to go right for me. So I just, try and focus on just getting my work in every day and just trying to get better. So
Brett Laurie joins us in the Fan 590. I know you're asked this question in the conference call. There are some photos of you that appeared in Deadspin. I'm sure you're tired of answering this, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Hey, look, thank God Deadspin wasn't around when I was 20. Thank God neither were cell phone cameras. But, have you had to talk to the Blue Jays about this, or did they talk to you? Like, sometimes I think we forget. I mean, 19, 20-year-old guys are 19 and 20-year-old guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
that's for sure. myself, I know that I'm 20 years old, and but that's not an excuse. I'm not using that as an excuse at all, because I'm a professional, and professionals shouldn't be doing that sort of stuff. So, those pictures were from a long time ago, on a Halloween night, and obviously, I'm still maturing as a person, and as a professional, I think this is just one of those things that's just a stepping stone. Obviously, I'm learning from it, and I have learned from it, and, I can promise that it won't happen again, so.
There was some talk when you were with the Brewers, and Keith Law had mentioned it on this station, on the Bob McCowan Show. They talked about there was some concern that the Brewers were upset that you didn't go to the Arizona Fall League, things like that. Couple this with the fact that Alex makes pretty clear the fact that he likes bringing a guy in with swagger, and he likes bringing a guy in who's going to go 150 miles an hour. I mean, these are the things he likes. Do you feel you have anything to make up at all? Do you have to change anybody's mind about you?
No, I'm not changing anything about myself, and I don't think anybody wants me to. I think they've chosen me because I have that fire inside me, and they wouldn't have traded for me if they didn't like that fire. So I don't think there's much to change. Like I said, I'm still maturing as a professional and as a person. So I'm just going to continue forward in what I've been doing, and hopefully I'm going to be in the big leagues coming up here. So yeah.
Were there any issues with the Arizona Fall League?
No, not so much. No issues that I can say. Just this year just wasn't. This wasn't the cards, but it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to move forward, and I'm sure, I'm going to have a great career with the Blue Jays coming up here.
What do you do in the off season to, like, do you have a workout routine? Do you work out with some guys, or because quite often a lot of guys they'll get together in a place like Arizona or something like that, and they'll take batting practice together. Do you, like, have a group of guys you work out with, or what exactly would your off season preparation entail?
For me, I've always been that type of guy who works out kind of by himself. Sometimes I think when I work out in groups with people, I kind of get distracted sometimes. So that's kind of, I kind of lose my focus for stuff. But, for me, I go to the gym, I run, and I had been working out in Arizona. And then once I came to LA, I had been working out at UCLA, and I had been working out, just by myself, just mentally, and just working out hard. So for me, I think it's just more about myself during the off season, and kind of working towards where I want to get.
Brett Laurie joins us in the Fan 590. How excited was your family when they found out that you were joining the Blue Jays?
No, they were very excited for me. Obviously, it's a great time for my family as well, to know that their son's going to be coming back into Canada to play some baseball. But I think their ultimate thought was that he gets an opportunity to play Major League Baseball, in his own country, which is awesome. But I think they just wanted the best opportunity for me just to play Major League Baseball. So
BC is such a good training ground for baseball players in Canada. So many guys have come out of there. Could you tell us a bit? I've talked to scouts who tell me that the BC Junior League is just so well organized, and that it's so easy for scouts to get a read on a guy in that league. Can you just tell us a bit about sort of the process of you being scouted by teams and how that developed? Because it really, if you look at the numbers of guys that come out of that league, there's a lot of top-end players. I mean, I'm not talking, 20th round draft picks. I'm talking first, second round draft picks out of that sort of that area.
Yeah, for sure. I played in the BC Premier League. Played in it for 3 or 4 years, I believe, and no, you just set yourself up for good opportunities. They play in a number of tournaments. They have a scouting bureau up here where a number of scouts come and, kind of watch your skills and that sort of thing. And then they also have the junior national team, which is big for Canadians in general, because it allows them to go down to Florida, allows them to go to Dominican Republic and play against all the professional teams in spring training and in instructional league. And we're also the scouts, but the States. So for Canadian guys, that's a big time. And I know it was for me when I was coming up towards the draft and building up since I was 15 to when I was 18. That was those were some of the biggest times for me, was playing with the national team and just getting seen by the right people.
I'll ask you very quickly before I let you go, Brett Laurie. When did you know that you were going to be a baseball player? Like, when did you know that this was going to be your career path? Was there a game, a season, something where you just said, "Now this is it"?
Well, I think my mom and dad knew that I was going to do something. They just didn't know when. But I think the defining point for me was when I was, 15, playing with the junior national team, when I had my first legitimate shot in the world junior championships in Cuba when I was 15, and I did very well over there, and I think that's when something in their head snapped, and I think it did for me as well, that I knew baseball was going to be my career choice.
Brett Laurie, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the off season, and we will see you in Dunedin.
All right, take care.
Take care. That is Brett Laurie, the newest member of the Toronto Blue Jays from Langley, BC, acquired from the Milwaukee Brewers for Sean Markham, and addressing the issues of some pictures that appeared in Deadspin, and essentially guys cutting up and, 19-year-old guys being 19-year-old guys, being goofy, and, and there's also some suggestions that he had some issues with some of his coaches in Miami and in Milwaukee and some of the development people. I mean, which does happen at times. There's a lot of internal politics that goes on in baseball teams that people don't often hear about, but I do know from talking to Blue Jays people, they feel they've done their due diligence, and they like what they're getting. They like the fact the guy's got a bit of an edge, and from where I sit and from what I've seen of baseball, it seems to me every good team has got at least a couple of guys with a bit of an edge, so if it's channeled properly, shouldn't be an issue. Thanks so much to Lance, John, and Ryan for setting this up. Hockey Central and the Greg Brady Show just around the corner. We'll see you tomorrow.